Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Just Sayin' Podcast. I'm Justin Martindale, and this week's guest has traveled. She is the Vegas vixen herself. We have tried multiple times to get you on here, and finally it's happening. You've seen her on American Idol Season 4. She has her own podcast called So Funny It Hurts, which you can check out. I've been a guest on it, and I loved it. And she is now apparently the Miss National Anthem.
Bitch, it's my single. I'm literally promoting the National Anthem in 2023.
She is Miss National Anthem 2023. It's Michaela Gordon. I'm so happy you're here. Yay!
Oh. Okay, but why is that the only song I'm singing this year?
I don't know. Every time I get on your Instagram account, Michaela Gordon singing the National Anthem.
Which, I know.
By the way, it's... props.
I mean, thank you. Are we still kind of canceled for it? Like, sometimes I feel, I'm like, am I allowed to be singing this? But they call.
You're just,
and I'm like, my nephew was
in a small town. Everyone's like, yay! Singing Jason
Aldean. They're like, look
Aldean.
At that stupid Italian lesbian up there just singing.
But that's what I kind of love, because you're gagging everyone, because they don't know. Because I just, or do, I don't think, I don't, like, you don't come across as, like, stereotypical, like,
no,
lesbian.
But then they see my very lesbian fiancé holding the phone while she's filming right on my face. I'm like, Lisa, when I sing, get on the field, film.
And your legs are sick, by the way.
Thank you, like, babe.
You have legs.
I mean, I'm 5'2", so yeah. It's, like, nice to be able to say that because they're so short. But I played soccer for so long, they're like... Little ham hocks.
Okay, now, here's the thing. Have you ever, and by the way, everyone's like, what, the national anthem? Michaela is a singer, American Idol Season 4, and so she sang the national anthem for Dodgers night, or
yeah.
What was it, Pride night?
It was Pride night, Dodgers game.
And then you sang the national anthem like 2 nights ago or something.
Mm-hmm. I did the Clippers Pride night, Dodgers Pride night, and then they had me do Vegas. We just moved back to Vegas, so they asked me to come and sing the anthem there. And it was fine. It's very hot in Vegas.
Have you ever forgotten the lyrics?
Probably.
Probably? Because I feel like I would be like that Maya Rudolph sketch where she gets on SNL where she's like, give a little proof. But night. Yum, 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 yum. Like, I... The Rockets.
Listen, I don't know if it's the anthem. Yeah. I will tell you that I've rewritten so many songs. I used to have these gigs where I had to learn, like, 20 cover tunes in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would learn the first verse of every song, and then I would, like, sing it as the second verse as well with, like, a twist. And that's how I would sing 20 cover songs a week.
God.
Just rewriting them.
Just a beast.
And people that knew the songs were like, I mean, even French, I remember I did Livian Rose for like years.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, this guy came up to me and he was like, is that French? And I was like, yeah.
Oui.
Uh-huh. It is. And he's like, it's not. And I was
it
like.
It is not French.
And I was like, okay, first of all. You knew what I was trying to say,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to keep doing it. And I did. I continued. It's the worst French, but yeah. I'll sing in any language for a check.
But, I mean, my God, you've done, I know, seriously, you're just like, I'll just give me
the
check.
Just give me that. They're like, are you Jewish? I am.
They're like, I think I'm offended, but it sounds good.
Are we canceling her?
I don't know. Well, wait, because you just had a show at the Palms, and now you just said you have a show coming up at the Venetian.
Yeah,
what is that?
I'm excited.
Good.
It's called the Juliet Cocktail Room. It's opening actually this week.
Cool.
And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. I'm happy to be back in Vegas. I was in LA for so long.
You were.
And being in Vegas is nice. They treat us well, and it's a new place that I'll be singing at. And the Venetian's beautiful,
I know.
By the way.
Yeah, I performed there a couple times. It's so, I love that
I love it.
Casino.
Yeah.
So pretty
there. I get to dress like a drag queen, like all the things I want to do.
Well, finally, because I was going to say, you look a little dull today. You need to really put on a lip or an eye.
First of all, I don't want anyone coming for me. I put these lashes on in the car, and I really can't do them in the best of circumstances, let alone in, like, my rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes.
And by the way, for our listeners, she drove from Vegas to LA today doing this podcast, then heading back to Vegas.
Okay.
That's dedication.
Listen, I really would only do it for you, though, and Ooh. You did it for me, and I love you.
I love you, too. And I've had the clumsiest day so far.
Just a
clumsy day. Like, I woke up, I went to the gym, my class was like not there really. Like, the instructor was like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I was like, I'm not there yet. Hold on. And then I went home, made a protein shake, and I spilt it all over the floor. And I'm like, what is happening?
Is Mercury in retrograde? What's happening?
I don't know. Probably. And then I have to go to the Beverly Center because I have to return a shirt because this old woman, she might have been a ghost. she was like 95 years old, but like the sweetest lady, like doing the checkout. And it like took an hour, but I was like, I just want, she's
making my day.
You
didn't want to rush her.
Yeah, I don't want to rush this woman. And she forgot to, like, take off one of the, like, security things.
Oh, God.
So I walk out, and it's like, boop, boop, boop. And I'm like, this is what they do on TikTok. It's totally fine. No one's going to do anything. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm like, you know, grab and goes are totally the rage right now. So.
Okay, what is happening?
I don't know.
What was that Nordstrom situation?
There was a Nordstrom. There's a Gucci.
And, yeah.
Like, it's
but
like,
the headlines were like, a flash mob.
No.
First of all, we know what a flash mob is, and those are beautiful.
Flash mobs are like overly excited theater minors.
It's Todrick Hall 2015.
Yeah.
Okay?
They're just
that
like,
wasn't
come
a flash
on,
mob.
Everybody.
They're not stealing. These people were stealing the bodies, the
mannequins,
like the shelves, the mannequins, everything.
They're taking the mannequins?
Yeah.
That's just rude.
They didn't leave anything.
Why would you take a mannequin? That's
because they're attached, the Gucci bags are attached to the mannequin, and they were like, fuck it, we'll take the whole thing. Can I say that? Sorry.
Yeah.
I won't say that.
Yeah, this is.
I'm going to watch my
Christian
mouth.
Network.
Starting right now.
No, you can totally cuss on here. It's fine. But they're taking the mannequins?
Yeah, they did. Shelves, everything.
Ugh, it's just so gross. And I want to get involved, but then I don't want to get involved because then I'll be that person who's like, no. And then they're like, well, knife, sink.
Well, that's
over.
Literally why I do fake. All my bags are fake. Not one is real. I have a great hookup if you want. Tamara, love you, bitch. You're not going to catch me in those streets, honey. I look like this is my nice-ass bag. If you take it, it was $100. Bye. See you never.
Thieves are so, like, 1800s.
Yeah, they are.
You know, it's, like, such a, like, if you're a thief now, like, figure it out.
Yeah,
like,
babe, that's not hot.
Artful dodger? Get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, we went to San Diego Pride. We got robbed at San Diego Pride.
No, you didn't.
Well, I did it. Evan had, like, a fanny pack on, and someone reached, like, unzipped it and took his phone, took his wallet. Like, just gross.
Wait, Evan had his fanny pack on, and they were able to unzip it without him noticing?
Yeah. Thieves. Yeah.
Disgust.
It's insane. It's insane. It's just, and I watch these videos, and people are just like, well, okay. All right.
Yeah, they don't even do anything.
I mean,
they just
whatever.
Let it happen.
It's so bizarre.
But Lisa, my fiance, makes me watch all these stupid videos. But they're to like save my life, so they're not so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But she is like, if anybody ever tries to take anything, you give it to them. You don't fight them, and you don't fight them off.
Yeah,
and I was
I've been mugged at gunpoint.
Okay, well, you don't need to one-up me, okay? I was going to tell a story that now doesn't even factor to that gunpoint.
Why?
Nothing.
You can say your story. What were you going to say?
It's not as cool.
Yeah, why not?
I'm just going to say somebody one time took my purse out, while I was grocery shopping.
They stole your purse while you were grocery shopping?
Yeah.
In the grocery store?
Yes.
And what happened?
That's it. But gunpoint sounds so much better. That's it. My Albertsons? How hardcore for me? It's
but wait,
not.
So you had a basket and you had a purse?
Yeah.
And
then I
like
went to the next aisle to get something.
And you left your basket there? Yeah.
And they took it. It was probably my fault.
They didn't have cameras?
It doesn't matter. Once it's gone, what am I going to do? Find them on Facebook?
Yeah. You'd be surprised. I think now Twitter and everything are like, find this person! You know, and then like in
oh
like
my
2 minutes,
TikTok
they're like
will find
ruined.
Anything.
I know. That sucks.
I love TikTok for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but see, when I got mugged, I was just like walking home from here. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was probably like 2010. And I was just like stumbling home. And this guy came up to me with a gun and he was like, give me your phone and your wallet. And I looked at the guy and I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Like, no, you didn't say that.
Yes, I was just like, oh, are you serious? Like, it was so annoying.
It's so the movie Clueless where he wants to steal her Aaliyah jacket and she's like, not my Aaliyah.
Yeah, exactly. I thank you for comparing me to Cher from Clueless.
You are so welcome.
And yeah, I was just like, oh, and I gave it to him. And it was like, you know, it was this like broke comic. I was like, there's $7 in there. I have a blast at Chipotle.
Yeah.
Made the news the next day.
Did it?
Told my story. Did the joke. Crushed.
You survivor.
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy because everyone's like, well, was the gun real? And I'm like, I didn't ask. What do you want me to do? Is this real?
Like, you said, are you kidding me? That was so, enough questioning.
And it was so dumb. And then he started walking down my street and I started following him. And he's like, what are you doing? And I go, I live down this street. He goes, well, you're not if you keep following me. And I'm like, oh, you're going to make me walk around the block?
Wait, this man held a gun to you, said, give me your stuff. You gave it to him.
Yeah.
He proceeded to walk down the street.
Yeah, after robbing
me. Didn't bother running or anything.
No, I gave him like a little lead, like a 6-second lead. And then I was like, and go. You know what I mean? Like,
and then he turned around and said, are you following me?
Yeah. And I go, no, I just live down the street. You robbed me on my own street. And he was like, well, you're not going to live on the street if you keep following me. And I was like, okay.
This sounds like an amateur thief.
It was an amateur heist as well. Like, I was an amateur, like, robbie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just gross. But I know. It's crazy. But let's get into, I mean, for those of you, I just want to do a quick run through of American Idol.
Whatever you want.
You were on Carrie Underwood's season, and you guys were roommates.
Uh-huh.
Is there any, like, fun, like, hot goss? Do you keep up with the cast of your season? Like,
no, I have nothing to offer this conversation. I interviewed Carrie last year. I was working for a station where I did the interview, and I was catching a plane, but the flight was delayed.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
shocker.
Surprise. And so I said, I'm going to take the interview anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I took the interview on the plane, and the flight attendants were lovely. And I was like, listen, this is very important. I need to take this interview. It's Carrie Underwood. I don't even know if they believed me. But I was like, I'm hopping on the Wi-Fi, and I need everyone to back the fuck off. And they were like, okay, gal. And we did the interview on the plane. Of course it was in coach.
Oh, God. You're just this woman in coach with demands?
And then this woman behind me, this little gray-haired woman was behind me. And she was clearly a fan of Carrie.
Yeah.
And so all you can see in the interview is this little, like, white gray hair trying to look over during the interview. And I was
that was
like,
the lady who checked me out at Macy's. Yeah. Yeah. See, we're intertwined. Yeah.
Two of us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I really did show Carrie how well I'm doing now.
In coach.
Since I lost to her.
Uh-huh.
In coach.
Yeah.
20 years later.
God, that was body 20 years Wi-Fi. Ago?
Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. I just went to Universal Studios not too long ago, and there was like the 30-year anniversary of Jurassic Park. And I was like, 30 years.
How's that?
I don't know.
Why but you know what? I feel like somebody posted the other day that they did this 20-year reunion, like a high school reunion. And I was like, oh my God, 20 years. And then I was like, bitch, you're 17 in. Like, I only have 3 more years, but I still think I'm like 7.
Was Adore on your season?
No, Adore was after me. I still talk to Adore. I love Adore.
I know, I do too.
I love Adore. I still talk to a few people from my season. Blake Lewis.
Uh-huh.
If not from my season, I talked to Chris Daughtry. Was just in Vegas. I saw him.
Chris Daughtry can still get it.
Chris Daughtry's so handsome, and his wife is so lovely.
Okay.
Okay. You know,
I have to talk about the wife, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, mute that.
Oh, just a bald straight man with eyeliner on.
No, he's handsome.
Oh, I remember voting for him every week.
You did?
Yeah, he was hot, and he just had that, like, voice.
I know. He's so
and
good.
Blake. Yeah.
I know. I still talk to a lot of the idols because I went on to host for American Idol Extra my seasons after. So I still met so many people that were not part of my season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still like a good family.
Yeah. Do you watch any of the new ones?
No.
I know.
I tried to, but it's like a totally different show, which is great. But I think the difference with my season and a few seasons, like around that time, we didn't have social media. Like, we didn't have all of these different outlets.
Right.
It was like you had to go home. You had to watch it. You had to vote for who you wanted to win. There was no spoiler alerts. There were landlines.
Yeah. You had to, like, call in.
You had to commit.
Yeah. Now it's all like, well, you know, I lost my house in a flood and my legs to a shark attack. And now, you know, and I lost my...
All the sob stories.
It's like, jeez.
Like, can I have one normal person?
Hmm?
Can I have one normal
person? Just one person without trauma that we can put on television?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different show. I mean, I love Idol still, but no, it's a totally different show.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. And Katy Perry, have you run into her in Vegas?
No, I haven't. I interviewed her the first season of the new show, and
the reboot. Yeah.
And I interviewed her and Lionel Richie, and they were lovely, but it's like, it's just a different show.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and then there's, like, The Voice and all that stuff, and I'm just like, it's a lot.
Because there's just a lot of singing competitions, and I think
it's all about the judges and not the talent anymore.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's just different. If you want to be a singer and you want to get recognized, you just go on TikTok.
Yeah,
like,
make up a
everyone's
song.
Famous now. Everyone can be famous. Mm-hmm. When you were on those shows, it was like not everybody could get a record deal. Not everybody could have that type of shine. There was, like, exclusivity, you know? Mm-hmm.
Like now no one could touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, whatever, go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into a little bit of Vegas. First of all, have you seen aliens in Vegas?
Oh, my God. Alien thing. No, I haven't. But my partner is obsessed,
mm-hmm.
Lisa. So she sent me all the articles, all the things. I've got enough shit to worry about. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, concerned about the aliens coming.
At all?
If they come on.
I know.
Same
way. I'm so bored.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's go. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, a general. He's like, they've been here. They're walking amongst us. I'm like,
okay, gal, where?
Yeah, bring them.
Love to say hello.
I want to see some vertical blinking.
Yes.
Come on now.
Those bodies?
Yes.
Please.
Yeah. Like, let's go. I have a day pass at Equinox. Come on. So there was the
Ozempic?
Aliens.
Are you on it or not?
No, they're not on Ozempic.
No, their bodies are just sickening.
They just
look like that.
Just snatched ETs, just
giving. They are, bitch.
So there's the aliens. I mean, what else is happening in Vegas?
Well, Vegas is a lot.
It's a lot right now. But Kylie Minogue, who has the hit of the summer, has
the
padam padam.
I can't stop. I love
can't
it.
You would think it would wear off. And it's like, it's trickled a bit because, like, summer's ending.
No, it's not
still,
trickling.
Every time it comes on, I'm just like, fuck.
Na, 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 na.
So she said she was announcing a Vegas residency it's the Voltaire Show at the Venetian.
Yeah.
She's expected to add more shows because she only had 10. And apparently the venue could barely fit, like, 100 people. No, I take that back. 1,000 people, which is still not a lot, right? So she had 10 shows, posted it up. Here, the tickets are available. Gone. And the gays shook.
She had 10 shows.
10 shows.
1,000 per person. Yeah. 1,000
per
show.
My watch just talks. It's fucking weird. Okay.
Listen, she's looking for the Kylie Minogue show for you as well.
Well, where was she, like, 4 days ago? You know, because I was just like,
worth
babe,
it.
There's one in January 2038. You're like, I'm just like,
listen,
no.
To me, the fascination with Kylie Minogue is unbelievable to me.
I love it.
I love Padam Padam, but, like, I wouldn't be, like, dying for tickets to see her.
You wouldn't?
No. And I know that people lose their minds for her.
I just think she's real. She's cool. She's never had, like, a controversy. She's never been like, oh, Kylie
Minogue. Well, clearly she has 1,000 people per show, 10 shows only.
But she's adding more now because people were like, this is absurd. So, yeah, capacity of 1,000 people. The venue will be releasing existing general admission table seats as the venue's construction is finished, because it's not, apparently, so that's great. Tickets offered this week are not 100% of what the room will seat when it is completed. So fans who tried to crack the Venetian's website, managed by Your Venue, is that right? Okay, hospitality platform, were informed of wait times exceeding 3,000 hours. That's a lot of time. I can barely be on hold for like 5 minutes. 3,000 hours?
I feel like I know it's happening. This is awkward. This is going to be weird. I also announced that I'm singing at the Venetian last week. And I think that people were looking for me.
I think you're right. I don't think they were looking for Kylie Minogue at all.
This is a little awkward. My venue holds
more.
75 people.
And do you have BVE, Big Venue Energy?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, how many people fit in your venue?
75.
75 people? Yeah. 75 chairs?
It's intimate, so. It's an intimate show, Justin. I want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's the year of vulnerability. Okay, so.
It's 75 fold-out chairs that might be used in a racist fight in Alabama.
And the wait time was also?
3,000 hours.
There are still tickets available?
Oh, okay. Not after this podcast.
Not after this, though.
Sold out, mama.
How embarrassing for the rest of Las Vegas.
No. If you want to see a show, go see Michaela Gordon in Vegas.
Yeah, you should.
Go. But they have released new dates. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think Kylie's just such a banger. Like, she'll just come out with, like, I can't get you out of my head.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
In Your Arms. Like, even, like, her slow stuff, like, slow.
Do you think they're testing out a residency, though? I thought it was a full residency.
It's, like, from November to January, but it's only, like, 2 to 4 shows a month, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, I will say, though, for the singers that do, like, even Adele, it's hard to sing in Vegas. It's hot, and it's dry as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot. Celine Dion used to have her whole cooling venting system.
Yeah.
Like, humidifying.
Celine Dion is a venting system. Like, that's, like, wherever Celine Dion shows up, it's just cold and wind.
Yeah, it is. Like a little angel.
But she hasn't toured the U.S. since 2011 when she appeared at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace.
Oh.
So she was there. Her latest single, Padam Padam, has topped the Billboard dance charts this summer. So I want to go. Apparently, you have to buy, like, a booth. So you have to get, like, table service. It's not just like, oh, I want a ticket. You have to get, like...
Oh, I like that.
The table.
I feel like that's, like, old school Vegas, though. Like, that's how you used to go see Frank Sinatra and all the old... Like, you would get the table
and have
cocktails and everything, which I think is fun.
I think it's kind of cool and elevated, and I'm here for it. But, like, my friend Randy was just like, I got tickets. And I was like, how'd you get tickets? He's like, I almost had to sell my liver. And I was like, what'd you get for that? A Coke bottle cap? Like, sell your liver. No one wants that.
Okay.
But moving on from Kylie Minogue, this is in the news. The properties in Las Vegas have found bed bugs at 7 hotels.
Why? Yeah.
This was Circus, shocker. Caesars has bed bugs. Planet Hollywood, the Palazzo, Tropicana, MGM, and the Sahara in Las Vegas have revealed that they are
Honestly, I'm a hotel bitch. Like, I love hotel rooms. If I can stay in a hotel room, oh my God, I think I'm so rich. It can be the shittiest hotel room. It can be the
really?
Best Western. I don't even care. I'm like,
oh God, no, I need
I love
like
the bed. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to be like, shh. But then I started watching those, speaking of fucking TikTok, when they do the black lights.
The black lights always get you.
And they do not wash that shit.
No.
And people do some crazy shit, especially in Vegas.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Like
nasty.
What? Like what? What do you have any like?
The whole slogan is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That doesn't feel promising. This doesn't feel like
hygienic.
Hygiene isn't happening.
Have you heard any like crazy hotel Vegas stories off the top of your head?
Well, I heard the Circus is haunted.
Well, of course it is.
No, but like haunted.
Ooh, go
off. Freaky.
Well, it has bed bugs now, apparently.
That's the least of their concerns
from
what I heard.
Those are all the spirits of the dead clowns reincarnated into bed bugs.
But what happens with bed bugs? Do they bite you?
I'm so glad you asked. Now, bed bugs, and I know this because I've encountered bed bugs. The Comedy Store here used to have a condo in La Jolla.
Okay.
And I was actually with Sean Pulaski. This was many years ago. And we were doing a weekend, and they had a main room and a guest bedroom for the comics to stay in. And I was in the guest bedroom. Sean was headlining. And we left the next day and we were like, God, I have all these like bites all over my legs. And they're just tiny little bites, but they're like a cluster of them. And they get around your ankles, they get around your legs. And she, of course, Sean being Sean, she was just like, there's bed bugs in the condo, right? And she comes back and tells everybody and everyone's like, shh, you know, let's figure it out.
Uh-huh.
But the thing about bed bugs is that they're so bad, they get in your clothes. And when they get in your clothes, you pack them up in your suitcase. And when you pack them up in your suitcase, you go home. And then you go home and you unpack your suitcase and then they get in your house. So they are a nuisance. They can carry, you know, disease, you know, I'm not.
Are they itchy?
They're itchy, yeah.
Listen to me. I only asking because I feel like Lisa got bed bugs.
How? How do you know?
Recently.
Yeah.
Because her legs and her ankles were like super itchy and all red.
Is that why
your
eyes were just looking at me?
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
I can't even make a joke about this.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't mosquitoes because mosquitoes love blood type O and I'm a blood type O and they're obsessed
tiny,
with me.
Like
mosquitoes are
little...
in love. They like.
Yeah.
Kiss me all the time, and nothing got me.
Yeah.
But they only got Lisa. Lisa's blood type A.
Wait, they only got her where?
On her legs and ankles.
But where is she staying?
Well, I don't remember, but surely it was somewhere. And then we came home, and she was like, they're still biting me. And I was like, Lisa, nothing is biting you. And then she was like, I think they're in my clothes. And I was like, that's disgusting. Like, it was a whole conversation we had. And I feel like she packed up her clothes. We were somewhere where they had bed bugs because mm-hmm. I didn't have anything on me.
In Vegas?
Well, no, I don't know.
Well, it was probably
Being
Vegas.
Being as famous as Kylie Minogue, I do a lot of traveling, and I don't remember.
Kylie Minogue, God, if Kylie Minogue gets bed bugs, we're done. I can't.
Can you imagine the next headline? Kylie Minogue gets bed bugs at the Venetian.
I know. I'd be like, oh, my God. It's like one of those movies where, like, there's, like, a cruise ship, and everyone just gets food poisoning, and everyone's like, over the rails.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're like, oh, no. But what do they do? So let's see. So with the guests at the Sahara killed a bed bug in a room in October 22nd. Okay, cool. In June of 2022, bed bugs were found at the room in Circus Circus. Well, Circus Circus is.
That's
dirty.
Babe. You know that it's a $20 room. Expectations need to be low.
And then they were found at the Palazzo after a guest complained to have been bitten that same month. Generally, they're relatively rare in Las Vegas hotels. Properties do monitor and respond to the presence of bed bugs and other pests in the hotel. So the Tropicana said in a Saturday statement that it regularly conducts comprehensive preventative...
They're blowing up the Tropicana next month. Like, of course they've got bed bugs.
Oh, no, yeah, they're blowing
shit.
It up, right?
Yeah, babe.
They're for the Gran Turismo?
Some of the people in there are bed bugs.
Yeah. What is that thing going around Vegas?
I think they're putting a baseball field.
Oh, good.
And I'll be singing the anthem.
Yeah, you'll be singing the national anthem. Michaela Gordon and her one-woman show.
I'm out of bed bugs. I'm on my way.
So this is what they do in Vegas. They said, this was the statement they said, while highly unlikely in the event of a complaint, we immediately isolate the affected room and its surrounding areas.
Okay.
At that point, a third-party service will evaluate the situation and provide a recommendation on appropriate next steps, including professional treatment should anything be found.
Okay. This is such a long answer. This is like a liar answer.
Yeah, you lift the mattress.
That's it.
There they are.
Uh-huh.
And then you set the room on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Problem solved.
Eric, the manager, he was like, what we're going to do first is where it's extremely unlikely an immediate protocol. Bitch, just say you're going to not have that anymore.
Keep it quiet.
Uh-huh.
Put up a tent.
He did too much shocking.
Yeah. Oh, they're the worst. That's kind of crazy. Like, now I'm waiting for, like, images to show up with just, like, all the casinos with just termite tents over them. No.
Maybe, but gross.
It'd be weird.
But you know what I heard?
What?
Even at the Tropicana? Listen, it's not very surprising. You know who told me this, actually? Nikki Paris Bitch.
Oh, Nikki Paris Bitch will tell me anything. Yes.
Nikki Paris Bitch told me that pool at the Tropicana, because I'm also a pool bitch.
Well,
I love swimming. I love diving. I love, unless I have a spray tan and a weave, which is my adult life. But I used to love to swim. And he said the amount of drugs they find in the bottoms of the pools, but particularly the Tropicana, you know, people put like cocaine and shit in their pockets when they're swimming. And then
why would you do that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they forget they're too high.
Oh, they forget it. Yeah.
And then they go to dive in. And then there's like all these drugs and condoms and shit that they find in the filter.
Why would they do that? What do they do with it all? Do they put it in like a lost and found? Why do I care?
Could you imagine if they had bags of cocaine?
Well, I mean, Nikki
Paris. Could you imagine if the bed bugs got the cocaine? That's why they're so rampant right now.
Oh my God, then we have a new animal like drug movie. We had
cocaine
bear,
bed bugs.
Meth gator, Cocaine Bed Bugs.
Brought to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Brought to you by Eric Knowles.
Oh my God, Cocaine Bed Bugs. Only on the Learning Channel. Or wait, what's it
this
on
makes
Discovery
sense, though.
Plus? Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that gross? Think about that, though. Just the Tropicana? I think the fuck not.
Yeah.
Every pool in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had cocaine. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? It was like Cocaine Bear. Then they had, there was like raccoon. Crack raccoon. That was another one.
What's that?
It's like they're playing drugs with animals now. That's the new like
genre. No, the shark,
genre.
the shark. Cocaine shark.
Cocaine sharks.
Out of Florida.
Yeah, cocaine sharks.
But now that's because in Miami that shit's falling out too.
Mm-hmm. And now we have cocaine bed bugs. And
you're
they're
gonna
just going to
be
drugs, on your legs.
Be responsible.
They're going to eat your legs like a cob of corn. Just.
Well, will they look thinner? Because I might put my legs in the water then.
These bed bugs are really biting. To the bone. All right. Well, that's enough about bed bugs. Let's get into some more hot topics. Okay. You said Circus was haunted.
Yeah.
I love ghosts. Fall is right around the corner. I'm ready.
I'm so ready for fall. I love it. I love it. Witch bitch.
I'm just that fall bitch.
Me
I love
too.
It. I'm a fall.
I loved summer for one day, and then I was like, enough.
Summer was fun. Kids are back in school. Bring on ghosts.
And every summer, I'm like, I'm going to do something so great this summer. And I never fucking do.
I had a busy summer, but it was like.
Did you? But did you do summer stuff or you worked? Because there's
worked.
A difference.
I worked and did a little. Yeah, no, I worked.
That's
but
what
it was
I'm
fun.
Saying.
I can
like
find
every
the
year, I'm like, I'm going to go to the lake.
I know. I always have like those, that like one group of friends who are like, we did 3 weeks in P-Town. And
that's
we
what I'm saying.
And then we went to the Pines. And then we went to Mexico. And I'm like, what do? You work from home. How?
Yeah. But also like. I give kudos to people that are like, we got a house in Lake Tahoe. How? I've never been responsible enough to go online, break down the Airbnb, price it, text all my friends, hey, this is what we all owe. Do you want to bring campfire stuff? Like, I've never, I want to be that person.
I know. I want to go on a vacation.
Can we find
so
a
bad.
Friend that does all of that work for us?
Yeah, it just feels like you need an assistant for your summer planning.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. You have to organize everybody and then like, okay, guys, can y'all Venmo me?
Yeah, you know? It's a lot.
Okay, well, this story is just fascinating. So Olivia Newton-John passed away, R.I.P., and her family has revealed that they've experienced supernatural encounters with her a year after her death.
I've got chills. They're multiplying.
Shut your face.
I'm losing control.
In the words of Greta Thunberg, how dare you? How dare you come on my podcast and do grease jokes? So her, bravo.
Thank you.
Olivia's husband, John Easterling, and daughter, Chloe Latanzi, shared that they both encountered situations where they believed the singer's spirit was present. 2 weeks after she passed, my phone accidentally took a picture of my dog. And there floating by his head was a little blue orb the same color as this, Latanzi said while holding an aquamarine pendant. The necklace had been given to Newton-John by Easterling, with the Grease actress gifting it to her daughter before she passed away in August of 2022. Mom and I had talked years back. We'd watch these paranormal shows, and I'd say, you gotta show up for me. And she was like, I'll show up as one of those orb things.
Stop.
Easterling added that he had similar encounters. Earlier this summer, he took a trip to Peru with Newton-John's ashes for a private ceremony where they exchanged vows for the first time on what would have been their 15th wedding anniversary. He said he took a picture, and this blue orb is right between my eyes, he said, showing a photo he took with his phone. It's been a supernatural year. I love it.
Listen, I love that.
I do too.
And I believe that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Olivia was a fucking icon. You think she's just going to die?
You're right. No. Haunt.
Yeah, bitch. Haunt. She's like, I still had more shit to do. What was she, 67?
Hopelessly devoted.
Beautiful.
I would love, here's what's weird. I was at the farmer's market yesterday because I do that. And
how nice of you.
It was, you know, it's Sunday morning, right?
Yeah.
I go out and get my like vegetables for the week. And I was
that's
so weird because I was at a booth buying produce and Grease was on in the booth next to us. You're the one that I want. You are the one.
Oh, my God. Was she visiting you yesterday?
Probably. I would love it. I would love Olivia Newton-John to visit
me. She was visiting you. Listen, I
don't think
I believe
knows
in that.
Me.
I think she does. I think you should give yourself a little more credit.
I would just live. My friend Emerson worked with her on
Unlike Olivia.
Sort of Lies. Yeah.
I believe that kind of stuff. When my grandma passed away, this is a true story. I swear okay. God. When my grandma passed away, I was driving from LA. It was in the pandemic, and she was in Vegas, and they put me on FaceTime. I was my grandma's favorite person, and I can say that with
allegedly.
Full confidence. I said with full confidence. Vivian, show yourself right now and tell them that I was your fucking favorite.
The curtain was kind of moving.
Yeah,
in a minute.
I know. She showed up.
Yeah.
So my family was like, you can go, Grandma. You can go, Mom. Like, go to the light. And I was like, don't you fucking go to that light. Don't go till I get there. It was like this whole thing. I was so upset.
You were saying don't go to the light?
Yes.
So you were the mom and poltergeist?
I was. Well, because I needed to get there first. Like, don't die till I get there.
Oh.
And she waited.
Oh.
So then I said, okay, Viv, when you die, give me a sign that you made it to the other side. So I stayed with her that night. I slept with her in the bed. She was like out of it by then. So when she woke up the next morning, she had passed then the next morning. Mm. So when she had passed, all my family was crying and I was sitting next to her bed. And since I had been a little girl, she wanted me to sing Amazing Grace at her funeral. Like she had told me that for years. It was like a very well-known thing. Everybody knew it. That's what she wanted. I sang it to her when I was like 16, fresh off Idol.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all sitting there and they had the religious radio on, just like whatever in the background. And I go, okay, Grandma, show me. And fucking Amazing Grace started playing on the radio. And I was like, yeah, Viv. I mean, there's also only four religious songs, but I do believe that.
Yeah, not like Amazing Grace isn't like, and now at the top of the countdown, Amazing Grace.
Yeah, I know. Like, it is one of four. But I do think that that was her saying, I reached it to the other side.
Oh,
isn't
that's
that
so
nice?
Sweet, yeah.
And then I did sing it at her funeral, and it was so... First of all, I treated it like a gig. I don't even know what the fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got a gig. And Lisa was like,
it's a funeral. I'm late for the gig. Okay. How much time do I do?
She's like, are you warming up? I was like, I want it to be good. And then... cried the entire Amazing Grace. The priest was like, do you want it? And I was like, can you just give me this?
Mm-hmm. Just let me have this
awful.
Moment. I love
so
that,
ugly.
Though.
Thank you.
So, I mean, haunt on, Olivia. Haunt on. And Viv. Haunt on, Viv.
Haunt on, Viv.
We're going to talk about this woman on a flight. So everyone on planes now is crazy.
Insane.
And this woman, this is an article that came out where this woman who had a severe nut allergy, she dropped $185 to buy out all the peanuts on her flight to protect herself.
Where'd the $185 go, though? I'm not understanding. She paid the flight.
First of all, aren't they all just complimentary?
That's what I thought.
Why are you
who's
paying for it, bitch? You got
they're
duped.
Free.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Lisa, my fiat, if I say Lisa's name one more time on
go
this
for
podcast,
it. I wish we had tequila
she is
here.
My other half. She is deathly allergic to peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's on the plane... like, she definitely, like, I don't get them on the plane. She's like, she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anything more severe, yeah, I think it would make her really sick.
That's insane. So
that makes sense to me.
Yeah, so this woman, it was aboard a Eurowings flight from Dusseldorf, Germany, to London's Heathrow Airport last month. And the flight crew didn't honor her request to notify passengers of her allergy, as she was told that it was against airline policy. This woman previously went on into anaphylactic shock on another flight where she broke out into hives or bed bug bites when someone opened a pack of peanuts in her vicinity. Williams told the insider that the staff was unsure of her allergy and asked if she needed an inhaler in case something flared up. She then took matters into her own hands and purchased all the peanuts that were supposed to be served on the flight. I said, I'll buy them all so you can't serve them. Oh, I love a peanut, Karen.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it is. If you're not willing to help me, this is the only thing I can do. The worst thing was that they actually asked if I wanted to take the peanuts, and I said, obviously not. Go off, queen.
Okay, queen, if you got $185, save yourself.
And who wants to die in Dusseldorf of peanut allergies?
No. I say do it. But also, has she ever flown before? Like, was she able to get...
But you just said, so is the smell like...
But I'm saying, like, okay, we don't want to go down in Dusseldorf, but has she always had $185 to buy out the peanuts, or has she had to fly before with the peanuts?
Well, now no one takes cash anymore, so she just had to tap it.
But I'm saying, she's probably been on a flight before where she had to, like, breathe in the peanuts.
Fair.
Like, all of a sudden now she's like, I'm buying them out. I mean, fine, and I also understand it, because it is... The allergy is like very severe if you're really, really allergic. And if you don't have one of those EpiPens that are $7,000,000 now.
Oh, are they?
Oh my God. Yeah, they're very difficult to get, especially if you don't have insurance.
Oof.
Then yeah.
I've always wanted to do that.
What?
Like use an EpiPen.
EpiPen?
Yeah, just be like, I got it. Like in someone's leg and just be really aggressive. Like save the day. And they're like, yeah, I've always wanted to do that.
Okay, does Evan have any allergies?
No, and I don't either. Do you?
I recently got tested, and I did, like, this blood work thing where it tells you all the things you're allergic to. Mm-hmm. And I do. I am, like, allergic to – this sounds so LA, but I'm allergic to gluten. I am.
Okay, go on.
I am. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to gluten shame you.
Well, you just did.
I just put my
– I heard it. I heard you shame me. Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I have a slight hazelnut and peanut allergy.
One is allergic to hazelnuts.
Yes, I am. That's what my doctor said.
What happens if you eat a hazelnut? What happens?
You become a lesbian.
I know, yeah.
That's why I'm a lesbian.
I want you to go to Dusseldorf, and they're going to pass out their annual Christmas hazelnut coffee cake, and you're like,
listen,
hazelnuts, I'm out.
No, okay, but low-key, I love having things to be allergic to. Boop. Like, I never was, and then Lisa's like, I'm allergic to peanuts and sunflowers.
People who have allergies love letting people know they have allergies.
And then now I'm like, I'm allergic to hazelnut, but I, up until that point.
I'm pretty sure I'm allergic to dairy.
Yeah. They also make it differently, though, now.
Yeah, I'm an oat milk kind of guy. It was funny because I kind of got called out because my friend's parents are in town from Texas, and we went out to WeHo Bistro for brunch on Saturday.
Oh, cute.
And they were like, oh, what would you like to drink? And I was like, I'll just have like an iced coffee. And they were like, any creamer? And I was like, they were like, we have almond milk. And I'm like, do you have oat milk? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And my friend was like, that's how you know you're in LA. And I'm like, it's just oat milk, relax. And almond milk is very expensive to make. You know?
Yeah.
So it was just funny.
I love oat milk.
I do too. It's my favorite. But it was just funny because my friend's parents were just like...
Oh, anybody thinks that we like are like so ridiculous.
But
Lisa's mom is Armenian and very Armenian. And I was like, listen, I can't eat any of your Armenian food anymore. It's just too much. And I mean, I said it in a much more loving way. And then I was like, I just want to kind of eat healthy, like just like fish and vegetables. And then the next time we went to see her, she brought me fish sticks and broccoli with cheddar cheese on it.
What are you, 9?
I said, does that look healthy to you?
Yeah. She just bring a pack of Lunchables.
She was like, this is good. And I was like, this isn't good, babe.
Yeah.
But I ate it.
Yeah. Because you're like, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah. I also fuck
she's
with
like,
fish
and
sticks.
And for dessert, hazelnuts. No! Buy all the hazelnuts.
And then I need an EpiPen.
I'm buying these hazelnuts. I'm shutting down this Christmas village.
Give me that EpiPen.
Santa, no. Okay.
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country. And even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Well, there's more airplane stories. We have this one. Do you remember the woman who was on the flight? This woman. She was on the flight.
Yeah.
Her name is Tiffany Gomez. She's come out. Mm-hmm. She's released a statement. If you don't know who I'm talking about, it's the woman who went viral for going, "That motherfucker's not real. That one." And no one knew who she was talking about.
Yeah.
So she got on social media. She's been gone for a while. She looks good.
No, she has great eyebrows.
She's snatched. I think if you went insane on an airplane, if you're going to make a statement, look snatched.
Well, you know what I heard about this bitch?
She's actually
the president of a PR company, and their slogan is, "We'll make you look real good."
What?
That's this girl. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But then she's telling people that they don't look real?
That's what I'm saying. Her whole business is PR. And she says, "We're going to make you look real good." And then this bitch
is accusing people of being lizard folk?
Uh-huh. I said, is this some sort of reverse fucking PR for your business?
Could be.
What's happening?
Because I just want to say, she says there's no excuse for profanity because she did go off, and I don't really like cussing on my podcast, but I did, and I'm sorry, but it's what she said. So she said in an emotional TMZ video, TMZ got access to this video. She says, "There's no excuse for freaking out on a plane full of people and causing everyone to have to deplane and be delayed."
Yeah, but she wasn't that sorry because she also just had to go through security again and got on the next plane.
The whole plane did. So Tiffany also says her rant could have done without the excessive profanity. She screamed, "That mother F back there is not real." And she especially started all the parents on board who were left to explain the situation to their kids. Yeah, thanks, Tiff.
Yeah, gal.
Well, she says she laughed at all the memes being spawned from her worst moment.
She did laugh?
Huh?
She did laugh. She's a fan of herself.
I don't think she did, but I think she's just saying because it's good. What? PR. So she says it feels invasive to have her lapse in judgment captured on camera and broadcast for the entire world to see.
This gives me nothing.
Yeah.
This answer gives me nothing.
Do you not know how cameras on phones work
anymore?
Tiffany,
why did you do it? That's what we don't want the apology. We want to know why.
What did you see?
What did you see? Was it the aliens?
Yeah, no, it was nothing. She just like, yeah, were you on drugs? Because I guarantee it was probably like
but
Ambien.
But she doesn't even look like she's, oh.
She's the alien.
Ambien is a hell of a drug.
Ambien and Bloody Marys. If there's one thing I know, it's cocktails and pills.
Good for you. And bed bugs.
Check.
Okay, seriously. I hate that answer.
Like, I'll look at people who, like, have public outbursts on planes, and I'm like, they had a gin and tonic and a Xanax.
Can you? Oh, my God. No, I know nothing. You could be so high as a kite.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they're tired.
No.
We're not sleeping.
I'm like,
I can't tell shit.
I'm like the pill whisperer.
I love that for you.
I'm just like, you're not okay. Something's up.
Okay.
It's like when I ask somebody in the audience, and I'm like, I like to check in with people every now and then.
I know,
just
I
because,
love that you do know, that. You're such a great comedian.
And I'll get on stage, and I'm like, who's mentally ill? And then the whole room claps. And I'm like, this tracks.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at someone, and I'm like, so what do you have? And they're like, everything! And I'm like, great, I'm glad you're in the front. Perfect. just so I know how to keep an eye on someone, you know?
Yeah. But all also, right. Like, mental health is so, like... We're over it, babe. We all have mental health issues.
It's true. I mean, that's the thing. I'm like, we all spent 2 years inside.
We all have trauma.
Yeah.
We all have anxiety and depression. Duh. Get something better.
Thank you. Level up. Yeah. Everyone's like, I wake up before noon. I'm mentally ill.
Ooh, whoop-de-doo.
I'm like, I wake up at like 7:30. I'm mentally ill. You're mentally ill.
I'm so
like,
depressed.
Sure.
Well, me too, bitch. But I still have to get up and do things.
Thank you. This mom had to get up and do things, but she did it the wrong way because she accidentally hired a stripper dressed as Barbie for her 5-year-old's birthday party.
Okay.
It happens, especially in Massachusetts. She turned bright pink when she realized the Barbie impersonator she recruited for her 5-year-old's daughter's party was actually a stripper.
I have a story to tell. I really do have a story to tell.
About a stripper?
This happened to me. And it's...
Go on.
I had a residency at the Cosmopolitan. I shouldn't even name names.
Just do it.
I was a singer with another singer at the Cosmopolitan. And it was like, we were in gowns and whatever. We get a call on our night off. And they're like, listen, we have a little girl from Make-A-Wish coming in to do a tea party. The princesses didn't show up. Can you and Sky? Now, you know Sky, who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, us? And they were like, yeah, you're great. Like, just come in with your gown, call, you know, whatever. Okay, well, this is why I still had my huge implants. They were like double Ds.
You had knockers.
And we like ran to the, we got there, ran to the dressing room, got dressed as fast as we could. Sky had like her lollipop dress on. She didn't have any underwear on. She didn't shave her legs. My areolas were falling out. And we were like, hey!
This is your wish.
And then Sky, my other singer, wouldn't stop eating the pastries for the
I thought you were
going to
say pasties.
Listen, we didn't even have those. We would have been lucky. And we were like, Make-A-Wish.
She's like, kill me already.
It was an honest mistake. So I understand Julia Duggan, the 32-year-old pharmacist's
we wanted mistake. Princesses and all we got were these whores. Her oxygen machine's still on. I'm sorry. I'll go outside.
Yeah. It was. It was a disaster.
So this woman, okay, so she wanted a Barbie. So so let's see. This TikTok video, she's a 32-year-old pharmacist, explains it was the 90s. Okay, so this was back in the day that her mother, oh, this is the child. Her mother found the adult entertainer after calling some numbers in the phone book. The woman shows up. She's a stripper, and I love her. She played along. She did not take off her clothes. I followed her around, thrilled that Barbie came to my birthday party, and all of the parents there had
okay,
a really good laugh.
Can I also say, because they always want to call out, like, drag queens and gay people, little kids don't know the difference if it's a Barbie or a stripper. Like, they're just excited. That didn't sound right. But she kept her clothes on.
Yeah, well, I would assume she would read the room. God forbid. She's
could
like,
you imagine?
Y'all ready to get fucked? You know, and all these kids are like...
I imagine she's a method actor. She's like, the show must go on!
There's some Barbies in this house. There's some Barbies in this house. Yeah.
I'm staying in character. It's my job.
I mean, she goes, I just remember holding her hand and walking around. I was starstruck. Yeah. It wasn't until she was in high school that she learned the truth about the actual Barbie. We were looking at old photos before we moved, and she said, what kind of Barbie did you hire for my birthday party? And her mom was like, oh, it's an interesting story. She got the receipts in a text exchange. She explains to the woman that many of their family photos were damaged when the basement flooded. No pun intended.
Okay.
My mom accidentally ordered the Spice Channel in a place of a Spice Girls concert on pay-per-view once.
This mother needs to be looked at. This is not the stripper's fault or the 90s daughter. And the mother continues making these mistakes.
I think this might have been a lot from Yellow Page finds. My parents found a strip club and actually took us there.
This is all a little too coincidental.
It is kind of interesting, though. Do we have an actual picture of the Barbie stripper? Boom, there it is. That's Britney Spears.
Oh, my God.
On a pole. Which, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, she's stripping now. And I'm like, you know what? Let her work out. You know, give her some
upper
body strength.
She also has a new residency at Spearmint Rhino. And it is coming to you this fall.
You know, if she did, it would sell out in seconds.
She would make so much money.
Yeah. Kylie
what
Minogue, watch out.
What is happening, though?
You know what? I think she's just living her life. I don't know.
No, babe. I can't condone this. I'm so tired of everyone being like, she's just trying to get her life back. I don't know. What's happening?
Yeah.
Brittany.
I know. I mean, you can't say anything bad about her. You can't say anything good about her. Apparently, she's going on Oprah. Like, there was some talks over the weekend that she's actually going to do that sit down with Oprah on her terms because her book is out. But she did dance to, like, Nine Inch Nails, which is kind of, you know, kind of hot and fun.
Yeah.
But,
but if she was appearing, like, more mentally stable.
You know how many people I've seen on Instagram and stuff, like, in gray sweatpants, flopping around, you know,
well,
bouncing
their
pets. Well,
I didn't say they're mentally stable either.
Yeah, they're not. No.
No, a lot of people had a lot of time on their hands in the pandemic, and I respect that.
I feel...
But this is like Britney Spears,
I know.
Babe.
I feel like Britney is becoming a pick-me girl.
You just learned that, didn't you?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from my friend Krista's 11 daughter. Yeah,
year old. Okay.
Yeah, it's like there's pick me boys and pick me girls.
Yeah, it's giving pick me.
It's giving pick me, where it's just like, you know, these people are just like, look at me, look what I'm doing, and you're like, just stop, just like live your life.
I know. Listen, Mama, we already love you.
You don't have to be like at a restaurant, and be like, here we are, I'm doing this. It's like, just eat. Shut up.
I know.
You know, it's like just. Relax. You don't have to like live vlog for everyone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what? Let her have it. She's got a pole. As long as she doesn't have a candle in there for it to burn her garage down again, I'm fine.
Oh my God. That was another nightmare.
What? She's like, I left the candle on. I'm like, but.
And then she was like working out
in the garage.
Messed up garage.
But the gay in me, I was like, what was the scent of the candle? What was it? Was it a goose
burnt cream?
Hair was it a spider
after sign? It was done?
Was it a Bath and Body Works candle? Which one?
Was it fall scent?
All right, we got a couple more stories. Let's see. Oh, this one's great. Okay, speaking of gay and candles, Barack Obama told his ex, this is the headline, by the way, I make love to men daily, but in the imagination. This letter shows. Let me give you the full story. Hold on. Former President Barack Obama wrote of his own androgynous mind and making love to men daily, but in the imagination, according to a redacted portion of a now notorious 1982 letter obtained by the Post. The more than 40-year-old letter to an ex-girlfriend recently resurfaced after Obama biographer David Garrow gave a long and winding interview on the one-time commander-in-chief. In regard to homosexuality, I must say that I believe this is an attempt to remove oneself from the present, a refusal perhaps to perpetuate the endless farce of earthly life. That motherfucker's not real! You see, I make
love... Wait, I'm trying to take this in right now.
Yeah, he says that I make love to men daily, but in the imagination. Obama, then 21, wrote to Alex McNear in November of 1982.
Let me see the letter. There's a letter.
There he is. That's 21-year-old Barack Obama.
Cutie.
You know, just Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah, but also I feel like, who cares?
Well, he says that his mind is androgynous to a great extent, and I hope to make it more so until I can think in terms of people, not women, as opposed to men. But in returning to the body, I see that I have been made a man, and physically in life, I choose to accept that contingency.
First of all, these words are so intense
so
for me.
Big.
Like, what the fuck are they trying to say? Say it in normal words.
He wanted to, you know.
Wants the D.
Hook up with a guy. But in his imagination.
Okay, well, go for it,
but
Daddy.
But in his imagination.
Okay.
So he would look at a guy and be like,
But I think everybody has sex with people in their imagination.
Well, it's also not having sex in your imagination. It's called fantasizing.
Yeah.
Sex in the imagination just sounds like a weird, like,
That's what I'm saying. This whole thing was using a lot of words that don't make sense. Just say what it is.
It sounds like a porn version of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Sex in the imagination.
Welcome. It sounds like a Vegas show. Welcome to Sex in the Imagination.
Ooh, I want to go see it.
Is this French? No.
Yeah, dude. I also feel like in 1981, for a black man to be able to like have sex with men openly or be able to be honest about that, like it's a different time, my guy.
And I say go for it.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's so.
Listen, I think everyone's a little gay, and I've always
felt
like
that. And if you're not, you are because you're denying it.
Yeah.
So I think this is great. I love that they're. Oh, here's the letter. Look, here's the letter. April 14th. Dear Alex.
Ooh.
Why is it written in like Civil War paper?
Well, he was role playing in his imagination.
In his imagination. There's Michelle. He's like, yep.
Don't bring Michelle into this.
I think about him all the time.
I feel like Michelle's got so much flavor, though. She's like, I'm into it, Daddy. Like, whatever.
I think she is, too. Mm-hmm. Michelle's totally pegged Barack.
Yeah.
There's
like,
no
whatever. Instance. Okay, I'll do it.
I think, yeah. Yeah. So they've been married since 1992. This
You got to keep it alive.
Like, he's gay. He's gay. And I'm like, you're welcome. But also, I wanted to play a game with you because I found this article the same day I found this one. That there are rumored presidents, there's 7 U.S. presidents who are rumored to be gay.
Oh.
And my number one is James Buchanan. This is James. Jenny, as he liked to be called. No. This is James Buchanan. He was the 15th president of the United States. He only served one term from the year 1857 to 1861. He's considered one of the most ineffective presidents. The lifelong bachelor has faced speculation about his sexuality. Many have raised questions about him because he lived with his vice president, William Rufus
Hot.
King. They lived together for more than a decade. So King described the pair's relationship as a, quote, communion.
Well, let's ask the real question. Was he a fan of Kylie Minogue?
James Buchanan would totally have tickets to Kylie Minogue. Many commentators at the time remarked on the pair's closeness. Andrew Jackson referred to them as Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy.
Yeah, honey, with those tights and heeled shoes, it's not impossible.
Not only was Andrew Jackson a slave owner, he was homophobic.
I don't know. Some of those outfits, I don't know. A gay would never have those brows, though.
No, but I'm here for that. I love it. Like, I just want like I love a bachelor president.
I love that he was like, I'm president now, baby. Like, just did not do anything.
This is my roommate and vice president.
Uh-huh, but also, like, imagine she's like, I got the job, bitch.
I got the job,
didn't do anything. Was like, ow, I'm the president. Come live with me now.
And no one cared because it was like 1857. They didn't know what that was. They had like candlelight still.
Yeah. He's like, call me president.
Number two is John F. Kennedy, which, sure. I think they were sex freaks. The Kennedys.
Honestly, I think so too.
Marilyn, Jackie,
yeah,
that
we
whole.
We get it, babe.
Like, Camelot's exhausting.
Yeah, say less.
Barack Obama, who we just talked about, was number three. LBJ, which BJ.
Uh-huh.
Lyndon B. Johnson, he was the 37th president. And from 1963 to 69, amid showdowns over government persecutions of gay people. However, he dodged scandals himself when his close personal friend and de facto chief of staff, Walter Jenkins, was outed. Ahead of the 64 presidential election, he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct with another man in public at a YMCA.
He loves handcuffs, daddy. Uh-huh, he was a leather daddy.
Forcing this man to resign. LBJ insisted he had no idea about Jackson's personal life, saying, I couldn't have been more shocked about Walter Jenkins if I had heard that Ladybird had tried to kill the Pope. What? Jesus, throw your wife under the bus. However, opponents made much mileage out of the suggestive innuendo with bumper stickers joking all the way with LBJ and don't go near the YMCA. Oh, God.
I don't know. Can I look at that LBJ photo one more time?
I mean, the hand on the hip is giving girl.
It's giving sass.
He's just like, I married a woman named Lady Bird.
He's giving sass a frass.
This is my wife, Lady Bird. I call her that. I came in with that nickname for my girl.
Yeah. Okay, daddy, we'll go off this little hand.
Alexander Hamilton. Well, yes, because he has a Broadway show.
Obviously. Say, you don't even have to read that. Gay. Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton's on Broadway, so clearly gay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great soundtrack.
Number six was Abraham Lincoln. This terrifies me.
Why?
Well, he did die in a theater. And, like, it's like he's like America's first otter. You know what I mean? Like, he's real tall, slender, kind of hairy, full Civil War bush.
Yeah.
Full Civil War bush.
But also, people probably really liked that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Full Civil War bush?
Yeah. Ooh. It was giving.
Yeah, you can emancipate my proclamation.
Face. I feel like he was a very... Yeah, it's giving a little gay. Look at that face.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm a little gay.
Well, it's just like...
Abe, honest Abe.
He looks like if you go to any gay bar now and it's just that Gen Z kid who's
I know,
just
it's
like
the very twink. He's like twinkie-ish. He's judging you, but also give it to you.
Mm-hmm. And
beautiful
the bow tie.
Eyes. Really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Bill and Hillary Clinton. Number seven. Yeah.
I mean, I see Hill as the gay one.
I hope so. Hillary Clinton would be the best lesbian in the world.
Yeah, honestly, I would give it to Hillary all day.
Wait, really? Like, would
I mean,
give
no,
it?
No, I would. No, I wouldn't give it to Hillary.
Hillary would give it to you?
No, I just meant Hillary would give it to the gays. Like, she would be serving lesbian.
Got it. Yes.
Not me.
Me personally.
I mean, if she asked me on a date, I love attention, and I wouldn't say no.
Uh-huh.
Also, what a flex. Like, the first thing you asked me on a date, bitch.
I think she's a total lesbian. I mean, Kate McKinnon played her.
Yeah. I mean, she loves a power suit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another time in life that she, like, could not come out as a lesbian.
Yeah. Bill, I don't think.
I think Bill's just, like, billing her. Like,
but Bill was kind of hot when he was younger.
No, Bill was very hot.
He was, like, an Arkansas, like, eight.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't get gay from him. His wife, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, there you have it. All right, we had another celebrity come out as pansexual, Wayne Brady, and he said, I'm doing this for me. Yeah, so the Let's Make a Deal host opens up in People magazine that he had a road to self-discovery, how his daughter and his ex-wife are showing him acceptance. I love all people equally, and now that includes myself. You know what? I'm here for it. I think Wayne Brady's very attractive, and people have, you know, he's 51, and I feel like people coming to terms with types of sexuality are normal. And I'm glad that he's happy. I think he's
I mean, I love Wayne Brady. We're buddies on social media. We've had many times where we've got...
So talented.
Together. So, oh my God, incredibly talented. Yeah. I think for me, and then this might just be like a generational thing, like I just don't understand the whole like coming out. Just like pansexual, yeah. You'll date anybody. Like go off.
Is so that, just that's do what it is. It's like I'll date anybody.
Pansexual
is like soul.
Yeah, pansexual is like I would date a trans man, a trans woman, a cis woman. Like I just fall in love who I fall in love with, and it's like okay, daddy, then just be about it. Walk the carpet with your new love, and let us do our own thing by judging it.
People want that people exclusive, you know. But also,
yeah, I think but people exclusive isn't even like people exclusive anymore.
Well, I know, but I feel like Lance did pave the way, and then Ellen, or Ellen, then Lance. And, you know, you always have to have your like, yep, I'm gay. Maybe like we have an African American male.
Are we still doing that?
Yeah.
Babe, it's 2023. I don't know.
Elliot Page.
Elliot Page literally was not Elliot Page.
Yeah.
For all that was something
Caitlin,
maybe you should come out as.
Call me Caitlin. You know, it's like we always get these like, but I also think it's like we have an African American man who is on the cover saying I am pansexual. It's visibility. It's progress. And I think it's kind of cool because there is a stereotype with that, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, men of color, predominantly macho, and they've got to be, you know, especially in the Latino community and the Black community, it's very like, you know, we got to be aggro. And I think it's kind of cool that this guy who's had an amazing career, I loved Wayne Brady when he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
One of the best shows ever.
But like, were you surprised?
I didn't know he was married. I thought he was like...
That's what I'm saying, babe. Like, I don't think either way it was like, what?
Yeah,
it was like, I didn't know what was happening before.
But I mean, if I saw Wayne Brady in a sauna, I'd be like, deal or no deal.
Open up this briefcase.
Yeah, let's make a deal. What's behind curtain number four?
Oh, wow. Okay, well, go off, Wayne Brady. I want you to be happy with yourself.
I do, too. I really like it. Yay, Wayne Brady. All right. So Wayne Brady can now finally date whoever he wants because he's pan. And this is a term I have not heard of it. I was going to ask if you have, called Rizz, R-I-Z-Z.
Somebody posted it the other day.
Really?
And they said what it was, and I can't, because I thought it was so cool. It was somebody who I really love, actually, and they posted it. And I was like, okay, go off. But I can't tell you right now what it is.
I'll tell you what it is.
Am I a boomer?
Rizz is a relatively young word. It's been circulating online since 2021. But one that cemented its place in the cultural lexicon. It can describe one's self-assurance, wooing prowess. Prowess, that's a hard word, or general coolness. It's hard to define, but immediately noticeable in practice. And unless you have TikTok or a TikTok fluent person in your life, it probably sounds like gibberish. Here's what you need to know about the slang word turned catch-all descriptor for someone with undeniable swag. Rizz.
I love that. Well, okay, because if you think about it, putting on the Rizz.
No, that's Ritz. The whole time.
The whole time?
The whole time. R-I-T-Z.
The whole time? Wait, but what's that line from? The whole time?
Mrs. Doubtfire?
I know, that's right, bitch.
Wait, can we go back to, you thought it was putting on the Rizz?
The whole time. The whole time.
It's from, do you know what song that's, you know what musical that song's from?
Clearly I don't, when I thought the fucking title was putting on the Rizz.
Do you like Rizz crackers?
I love them.
Dita Rizz, she's an amazing drag queen too.
Wait, what's putting on the Rizz from?
It's from a Broadway musical called Chess.
Okay, like everyone knows that, Justin, you homosexual.
So Rizz is basically a truncated version of charisma.
Oh.
That refers to one's unique. unique swagger and overall success in endeavors, both platonic and romantic. It can be used to describe a stereotypical ladies' man, like Ryan Gosling in Crazy Stupid Love.
Hot.
Yeah, Riz is that je ne sais quoi
is that
quality.
French?
That is French.
That French?
It's French.
That
describes someone self-possessed and assured of their own awesomeness who inspires others to develop their own confidence.
Okay.
So Riz is the new swag.
I feel like the person I was following did not use it right then either, because I don't remember it being that.
No, it's just new swag.
Okay.
Oh, you got some Riz.
So use it in a sentence.
You got, Michaela, your Riz is showing.
Thank you.
Now put it away. This is a school.
I guess dictionary.com
put it up. Yeah, so all these like Gen Z kids are like, it's Riz. It's not swag anymore. It's an undeniable swag.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, so that's it. So
you got a lot of Riz, Justin.
I got a lot of Riz. I could work on it.
We all can.
But I want to talk about this before we wrap up for today. This Lil Tay thing, have you heard about this?
Okay.
First of all, ¿cómo se dice Lil Tay?
Okay.
What is it?
First of all, it was my idea.
Okay.
I would have faked my death and I knew I was going to get all this press.
It's so insane because
that's what it is. It's a PR stunt. Lil Tay has been like, from what I know of Lil Tay, I feel like her parents were like her managers. She's young too.
She's 14.
And she was like really problematic.
Right.
She like started off, if I'm not wrong, and please tell me if I am, she started off like a bad baby.
The comments will let you know if you're wrong.
The comments will also let me know that I put too much filler in my lipstick. Don't fucking go there. My God, those comments. Don't do it. I already called myself out. I did this podcast the other day. And they're like, what'd she do? Get stung by a bee? And I was like, yeah, I'm allergic.
It's called Riz. Get into it.
Okay, it was a couple days ago. The swelling is not.
You look fine.
I'm just calling it up before they can.
They're a little Tay, though.
Stop. Okay. They're not. Okay, first of all, like it like this. They're bed bugs, not.
Oh, God, gross.
Bumblebees.
That's like Flintstone lip filler. Like they would put like bed bugs on their lips. Wilma's just like, oh.
And I would too. Filler's expensive in these times.
Prehistoric bed bugs.
If those bed bugs would do something to my lips that the filler couldn't do.
Sick. So she was problematic by what
she was
do?
Like bad baby. Like she was very problematic. She was like a badass little kid.
Okay.
On social media, she was like cussing and like she was a bad little baby.
And she had like hundreds of dollars of bills and like
yeah. And they were like, okay, queen. You know, like whoa, Vicky. Like all of these. It's like that. It's like that whole like totally culturally appropriate. Like not good. And she was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know her. And then she's still garnered like a proper social media following.
But then like last week, I want to say like last Wednesday or Thursday, they were like, Lil Tay dead at 14 along with her brother.
But also, can I tell you the way that the media pushes everything? Like I only saw one post about this. Like even the media was like, I'm not dealing with her.
Well, I think it was just so
out of left field.
I just remember it was just boom, boom, boom. And I was like, oh my God, why am I 900 years old? What's a Lil Tay? And then I looked it up and I saw the videos and everything. But yeah, people were like, oh, she died with her brother who was like, I don't know if it's her twin brother or like just a younger brother.
But also I feel like it's such a reach because they're now saying that they got hacked. But like anybody that's hacking you, are they going to say that you die? Like, they don't have any interest like that.
You know why? Because this is a PR stunt because the lizard lady on the plane reps Lil Tay.
Oh, my. And they're going to make you look real good.
Goddamn F, it's not real. So
they probably got the lady who bought the $185 of peanuts. They're all on the same PR team.
Well, this is what's weird because it took them 24 hours to announce, after the announcement of her death, Lil Tay stated that she's alive and well. So 24 hours. Here's the thing. Did you lose your phone? Because people reached out to the dad, and apparently there's some weird, like, there's been, like, abuse.
Because the dad is not okay either, I'm telling you.
Well, no, when you put your kids online like that to make them, like, celebrities, it's, like,
it's weirdo behavior.
Well.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually feel bad for her because she is only 14, and 14 is baby. Like, I'm never going to talk bad about a little kid.
Another day.
That's because you're full of Riz.
Kids don't know this, Riz.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think it's weird, but that's like social media weird.
I know.
This generation is weird. I don't know. Like, they do weird stuff.
I know. Well, the fake death announcement stated that Tay and her brother had tragically passed away. Tay's family was unaware of the hacking because the media reached out to the dad and he was like, "What? She's dead?" That's what he said. That's what her dad said. He was deeply shocked to hear about her supposed, quote, death. Tay regained access to her Instagram account the other day and promptly removed the fake death statement. It remains unclear why it took her 24 hours to let everyone know she was still alive. Maybe because she was in school, because she's 14?
No, it was summer break.
Yeah, oh, right. Tay mentioned that she received a barrage of phone calls from loved ones all day yesterday after the fake death announcement was made. She provided the following statement. "I want to make it clear that my brother and I are safe and alive, but I'm completely heartbroken and struggling," this is not her, "and struggling to even find the right words to say. It's been a very traumatizing 24 hours all day. I was bombarded with heartbreaking and tearful phone calls trying to sort out this mess. My Instagram account was compromised by a third party and used to spread jarring misinformation and rumors regarding me to the point that even my name was wrong. My legal name is Tay Tien, not Claire Hope."
Okay, but can I ask you a very serious question?
Yes.
But have you ever thought about your funeral and like what people would say about you if you did die?
Okay. Cremate me, put me in a t-shirt cannon, shoot me out into the ocean.
Oh, not me. Like, I'm like, what would people be saying?
Oh,
would it be good enough? Like, would they say good things? Would they say that I was beautiful, like funny?
Well,
like,
yeah, all of the course. Things?
No, I want that.
Yeah.
And that's what I sometimes think about. Like, make a big deal about me.
Just don't put me on a marquee that says like, make God laugh. I don't want to have to work. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's your time off.
I did it. Like, yeah. I don't want to... Oh, now I have to go, "Hey, God, mm-hmm. where are you from?"
You know, yeah, I don't wanna, right. You don't want to gig.
Yeah, I don't want to get, like... I don't want God to, like, walk the room, you know? No. I would never walk God. But at the same time, I'm not... I don't know. I think about that. But I'm also like, I don't want a funeral. I don't want, like, an open casket.
Really?
I don't know.
I think I'm leaving directions. I want it to be done right. I might do a dress rehearsal.
Really?
I want to make sure it's done right. Remember me. That's
why
I'm in therapy.
That has to be something that people do.
I've like a dress rehearsal for their funerals?
Just so they, like, they'll invite all their friends and family and be like, "Okay, I just want to know what it would be like in case."
Yeah, but also when I'm gone, I don't know what you're going to say about me. I want to know when I'm alive.
I'm going to hire a Barbie stripper for sure.
Yeah, good. And then you can play the Spice Channel when you meant to get the Spice Girls.
This is so strange.
Awkward. Yeah,
check in with your husband because your husband's the problem. That lady, I swear. Okay, so Lil Tay's not dead, everyone.
All right,
yay.
She's alive.
A new day.
Oh, that was beautiful.
But here's breaking news. We have breaking news. Taryn Manning. Do you remember Taryn Manning? She was pregnant at Crossroads.
Yeah, she was in. Yeah, duh.
And fell down the stairs.
Yeah, it was devastating.
Such a weird thing to put in a movie.
I was 11. I was like, this is terrifying.
Right? Such a weird movie, like a Britney Spears movie. And you have to like deal with that. You're like, what? Okay. So yeah. Taryn Manning shared a bizarre video to social media in which she detailed her alleged affair with a married man. The Orange is the New Black star, who I will only refer to her as Crossroads with Britney Spears, pulled her car over to record, said she was so rooted and didn't want to cause crashes before detailing her experience, quote, licking the man's, quote, butthole.
Oh.
Every night, well, for about 3 nights in a row, I was licking his butthole because he liked it, and I didn't mind doing it. Is that weird? That is what demons do, began Manning. Oh, God, here we go. Pills and booze. Manning claims she and the unnamed man drove all the way to Newport Beach so that she could buy him a boat because she was so in love with him.
So confused by this story. She
Whoa!
Went on social media and told a story about how she licked some guy's butthole.
Yeah, it's Monday.
Yeah, that's nice. That's called sex.
Wait, so that's her? I brought
Did she think this was like a breaking story though? Like,
well, apparently it's Page Six. They get all the hits. I brought Crash to put down payment down. I brought Crash to put a down payment
I think she
down.
Meant cash.
Like a
It was a typo.
Page Six.
Not you trying to break it down. You guys, hang on. I brought crash code to put a payment down.
Page
it's just
six,
a typo.
Fire your interns immediately. Spell check, for God's sakes. Because then I'm reading and people are like, he can't read. He's slurring his words. This is, there's water in here. All right. I brought cash to put a down payment down. She really loved this guy. Okay, so she's
this
saying that she loved a guy so much that she gave him a rim job. So she says she can't stand the man's wife. Oh! So she's hooking up with a married dude. She called the, she can't stand the man's wife because she allegedly called the actress a lunatic instead of calling them both out for alleged dalliance. You get out of my life or I'll get a restraining order on you. No, I'll put your ass in jail before eating it, Manning said. Anyway, so I've been licking your man's butthole for weeks on end, no pun intended, because he likes it a lot and I do it to him. He comes to me and it happens.
Wait, I'm so sorry. It's all coming back to me now.
Celine. It just got like cool in here.
I know. And Olivia? Olivia, are you joining us for this conversation? Do you see an orb? Olivia, talk to us.
And she's like, I ate your husband's butt too. Olivia, no.
Stop, Olivia.
Okay.
Wait, so she's saying this is currently happening.
She is hooking up with a married man, and the wife found out about it.
Well, not hooking up. She's just licking his butthole.
I mean...
I know, but I'm just saying she made it very clear to say she's just licking his butthole.
Yeah. But it's it was also in quotes, which I think is another Page Six era. You can't just be like... You can't just say like, oh...
Maybe. Maybe she's like, bent over. And then she said she's going to get a restraining order on the wife if she continues to harass her. Well, babe, you're licking her husband's butthole.
I don't like it. When did Taryn Manning become like a Domino's pizza delivery woman?
She's been a wild woman for a while.
It's so crazy.
She was with a woman, I thought, also. Apparently not now, but...
She claimed the affair began because she's, quote, very single, and the man, quote, came to me.
Okay, girl, well, clearly...
Can we see this man or said butthole?
But she said that she licked his butthole and bought him a boat. Like, one or the other, sissy. What's...
She's
getting nothing out of this.
Nothing. So she's just pulling over to the side because she's going to crash.
Wait, no, she is. In a second video, Manning claimed her married beau was finger-banging her during the drive down to Newport Beach in California. As a lesbian, I can say that that is beautiful.
What just happened?
You missed the last sentence.
I sure did. So she says she's not going on about it anymore. He messed up real bad. Instead, the wife is going after Manning. I'm not scared of you.
I love when people are like, I'm not going to go on about it anymore. You literally just...
I'm not going to talk anymore about it. It's messed up. I hope she dies. She knows what she did. Yeah, so she's just going on, but she doesn't want to talk about it anymore, but here's details. So she's just a woman scorned. She's mad at this man for being married. He came to her. So, yeah, so this is just kind of some, like,
okay,
lover's
mama.
Score. But also, like, kind of keep that shit to yourself,
that's what
lady.
I'm saying.
What do we have next? We've got, you mentioned your tatas.
Yeah.
Earlier. Raven Simone. She revealed that she had multiple plastic surgeries before turning 18. She opened up about how body shaming was for her at a young age, and it led to her to look into plastic surgery. She's 37 now, which is insane. She revealed that she underwent two breast reductions and liposuction before the age of 18 during Monday's episode of The Best Podcast Ever, which she co-hosts with her wife, Miranda Perriman-Madej.
Okay, well, first of all, Best Podcast Ever.
You like it? What? So funny
you
it
have
hurts?
The best podcast ever.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know what she's
like,
talking
slow
about.
Down no. with that
but also,
title,
like, when you have to say it, is it?
Awkward.
So Raven Simone, who was found, she found fame on the Disney Channel. She was on The Cosby Show, which was a fun sleeper hit. See what I did there? She said that she was subject to body shaming at a young age, which was part of her decision to go under the knife. Her father also supported her surgeries. There was paperwork involved. My dad suggested strongly that I should get my breasts reduced. So you don't feel bad. Is there anything you want? She said, yeah, if I get lipo, will people stop calling me fat? So I got a twofer, she recalled.
Listen, I will say I was 16 when I was on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're the youngest contestant.
Yeah. And although I have lip fillers, I really don't have anything else in my face. Like, I really, that was it. It's my lips. I overline them. It is. At 16, I really didn't have anything. they destroyed me, my face, my body type on those message boards. It was so bad. I had an eating disorder after American Idol.
Really?
Because I was short. 5 pounds makes a difference on me. And mm-hmm. I was a little bit chest heavy. I had big cheeks. I had a full face. And the women, I mean, this is in like 2004. Those women were horrific.
Which women?
The women in the Bible Belt. Like, they were coming for me. Because mm-hmm. they would go on the message boards. You'd see where they were from.
Before,
like,
Reddit.
She's got lip injections, cheek injections. She's fat. It
16-year-old girl.
Yeah. And I went to a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills and asked for a liposuction. And they wouldn't do it because I had enough money after Idol. And I really wanted to do it. And I'm being so serious about that. And it totally fucked my head up. And then I got my breasts done. I lost a bunch of weight from the eating disorder. And then I went to go get my breasts done. And I did get them done. And I got them removed a couple years ago just because I'm 35 and I don't want them and I feel good about myself, you know, whatever. But I feel really bad about this story because it's true. I mean, like, it's
brutal.
Brutal. Yeah. It's rough. And if you're a little bit chubby or just curvy or just have boobies because you're 16, like, that's what women, you know, I don't know if I blame her. Do I think that her father was wrong? I don't know. I feel kind of bad, dude. Like, they're rough.
Well, yeah. Before she was 18 or before she was 18, she was probably like right at, you know, the kind of height of internet, like the late 90s, the aughts, where everyone was just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And Taryn Manning was like, dinner. But yeah, everyone had an opinion. Everyone was like a critic. They still are.
But at least we've got like body shaming and people like Lizzo or like don't talk about. It was brutal. And so I feel really bad that she went through that. I totally understand where she was probably coming from. Honestly, I think that it should just be a good lesson to not talk shit about 16-year-olds.
Especially, like, I agree. Especially,
like, as a 35-year-old woman, I would never talk about a young girl's body type. Even if I thought whatever feelings. It's, like, off limits, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, leave her alone. You know what I'm saying? Or a boy.
Yeah.
I don't talk shit about people anyway. I say it to their face.
At a girl.
But anybody under 18, like, come on.
I know. It's so gross. And
it's so weird behavior.
Yeah. And it's just, what does it say about you? You know, and it's like, especially like when you're going through that, and your body hasn't like fully developed yet. And, you know, she even says that like it was painful for her. You know, your body's still developing and you're like cutting into it already. She says she still has scar tissue. She gained weight after and had to go back for a little bit more because her boobs were so big.
Well, they grow back. When you get a breast reduction, they also do grow back. Mm-hmm. Like, your boobies can grow back. She was 16. She's 37 now. She probably did.
I remember there was a girl in my high school that I don't remember. I think she got a breast reduction for graduation. Because I feel like there was like girls who were like, I'm getting my implants for graduation. And then this girl was like, I'm getting them taken down.
Yeah.
And I think it was like really, really painful for her because, again, you're like 17, 18 years old. Your body's not fully developed yet and you're hacking into it already.
Well, and like your boobs don't fit into any of the cute tops that the other girls get to wear. Like, you're not wearing a crop top. Like, that's such a mental game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I like to be funny, I am serious about that. I don't like that behavior. Yeah. I feel bad for her.
Yeah. But I think it's good that she's talking about it.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, and now we live in a culture where everyone's like, I'm on Ozempic. It's like, oh my God, you have diabetes? No. What?
Yeah, well, at least we found a solution.
I know. It is insane. So she's saying, you know, going after people like coming after her now. And she's saying, you know, she has type 2 diabetes in her family.
Okay, Raven, we already felt like you got us on the first round, okay?
That's so Raven. She's just has to go off and let everyone know. I'm not going to say anything. But I'm gonna say something. Yeah. What happened?
My fucking extension just fell out.
Okay, everyone in the discussion group.
What went wrong here?
Shame her. What happened?
I don't know. I was getting nervous and I just went like this and she came out of my head. And that's live television, folks.
Witch! Well, on that note,
I gotta go.
You know what it was? That Make-A-Wish kid is coming back to haunt you.
I did the best I could. I did the best I could. Here, well, put this in a pile then. We'll just, I don't have natural hair to cut, so take my extensions.
You can catch Michaela Gordon in Vegas or as an orb in about 3 years, where she will be floating above the Vegas Strip. Michaela, where can everyone find you, my love?
I love you. You can check me out at the Venetian on Fridays and Saturdays at Juliet Cocktail Room and Delilah's Inside the Wind on Sundays.
Oh, I love Delilah's.
And then check out my podcast, So Funny It Hurts, which you were on. You were the best, the best.
To do it
you're
again.
So funny.
I want to
tell you also, you're the funniest person I've ever met. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you.
Me? Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love you too, guys. We'll see you next time on Just Saying. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.